Well, good morning and welcome again to yet another awesome Tuesday. And you know what happens on Tuesday? Let me tell you, I dress up for this. But then again, I dress up every Tuesday for this, isn't it? I look forward to this conversation. I look forward to roping in all these awesome women who have been, you know, they've been journeying and they've been making strides and they've been successful despite of whatever hindrances, you know, they're challenging the odds and they're definitely out there and they're shining. And it's awesome for us to recognize them. And this is exactly why this program was created. And you know what? It's been such a joy. Since it's created, it's formulated itself into such an awesome show, and you know we are just so happy and so proud, and you know to have you know come up with that, and to, again I want to big up the producers of the show, Roy Ron and Tamara Gibson, the directors of Radio Caribbean International. This was very well done. We've got to take a break now, and we've got to definitely take a word from our sponsor. So let me do that. All right, let's take a break. And let's take a word from our two partners, the Bank of St. Lucia, of course, all the bank you need, and Courts St. Lucia. And when we come back, we head straight into our conversation with Michelle Marius this morning.
We are the Bank of St. Lucia, for every solution, building our future today. We are the Bank of St. Lucia, for every solution, with you every step of the way. Always there for you, serving you. The St. Lucian way, we like family, always there for you, helping you and me, B-O-S-L, no say for me, we are the Bank of St. Lucia, for every St. Lucian,
Bank of St. Lucia, all the bank you need,
together, we're here for each other, stand with Unicoma. Yes, we are all essential.
Send us your COVID-19 jingle at oecfjingle@unicoma.com for a chance to win $1,500 to $2,500 cash. Competition open to students age 5 to 17 and adults age 18 to 30. Log on to shopcost.com or check us out on Facebook and Instagram for more details. Remember, we are all essential in the fight against COVID-19. Terms and conditions apply.
Yes, we are all essential.
And we are certainly back. It's a pleasure to have you on board. If you're tuned in via any means this morning, there's so many ways that you could stay connected with Radio Caribbean International. It's beginning to get, you know, too much for us to mention all the means. But if you're locked in to Radio Caribbean International, regardless of the means, I want to say good morning to you this morning. All right, we got IG Live. We got the Facebook Live feed. We're on our app. Yes, just download the app to your smartphone and you can roll along with us. We're on our website and we are also on our frequency as well. So that's awesome. Now, I am dying to start this conversation because, believe it or not, sometimes it seems like everybody that we have on the show, I know them. Eh? This morning, I do not know that lady. So you learning just like me this morning and you're getting to meet her for the first time, if that's the case for you. But that's definitely the case for me. So I am very eager to start the conversation. Good morning. Good morning to you, Michelle. Good morning.
Hi, morning, and morning to everyone who is listening.
Oh, it's an honor to host you. Thank you for being a part of our program.
Thank you so much for asking as well.
Let me tell you, I will. Let's see. If they ask, it's because you inspired something.
Okay. Well,
wonderful.
Thank you.
Well, let's get into the conversation, Michelle. There's quite a stint there. I mean, professional-wise, there's quite a stint going on there, and we're dying to get to that. But let's meet the person. Who is Michelle? What were you like growing up? Where was growing up for you? What were you like as a child?
Okay. Well, I'm Jamaican born, but I grew up in St. Lucia.
Right.
Probably from about when I was about 6 or 7, we immigrated to St. Lucia. So I went to what is now Carmen Rene Memorial School.
Oh.
At the time when I went, it was Sans Souci.
Right.
Went to the convent and A-levels, and eventually, of course, went to Trinidad to study engineering. So that was my childhood growing up in St. Lucia, at least, you know, just in the very, very bare bones way.
Right.
But you
had, it doesn't matter. Childhood, I want to know about your childhood. Your time as a child in St. Lucia and also in Jamaica, there's nothing wrong. Let's learn. Because you were like dual citizenship, so you were moving between the two islands, is it?
Not as much, but, right. You know, I started school in Jamaica, and, you know, we immigrated permanently, the family immigrated permanently to St. Lucia. So to varying degrees, as much as I had a lot of Jamaican exposure while living in St. Lucia, but in terms of my environment, you know, my experiences were definitely, you know, of a local nature. So right. Even right now, I'm
local
currently based in
Jamaica. Local meaning St. Lucia. Local meaning St. Lucia, right?
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
well,
yes,
you Lucian,
yes.
Man. You think we... you Lucian, yeah. Saka fat.
Well,
that's right. What do we say again to be Lucian? Right. So, as a child, were you an only child? What was the household? What type of a household was it? And what was some of the principles that was taught in your times of upbringing?
Well, my parents, my father, St. Lucian, my sister. So it was primarily the you know, the four-unit, you know, home. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he comes from, I guess I want to say large family. His immediate family may not be very large, but, you know, the cousins and, you know, right. The aunts and so on, as is typical in many St. Lucian families. So, you know... when you go into various communities, for me, it's like Beriso and Liku, that, you know, people don't even need to know your name. They see you and they know who you are.
Oh, yes.
So
yes.
that sort of thing. So
best believe that. Yeah. It was back in the era when the community raised a child. That kind
Indeed.
Of era, I guess. Was it? Am I correct?
Well, I guess we lived in Castries, so we weren't necessarily directly in the community, but I'm definitely sure for, you know, my cousins and
you
so on who grew
girl.
Up in. Yes, ma'am.
All
yes,
right,
ma'am.
You are that town girl. All right, wonderful. But I'm sure you used to get excited. Everybody that I've spoken to, and even myself, not in St. Lucia, but in Grenada, we always got excited about the country. So when
Absolutely.
It was time to go down to the country, I'm sure you got pretty excited.
Yes, and, you know, basically your parents let you off and you just go running all over the place with your cousins
free,
and stuff like that.
You were free. And safe. Free
Absolutely.
And safe. That's what it was. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. What are some of the principles to date? Because we're getting into your professional stint in just a minute. But what are some of the principles that remained with you even today that you think that was inducted in you from that age? That stayed with you and helped you into the person that you are today?
Well, I think just, you know, living and growing in the Caribbean, living and growing in the region, I feel very Caribbean because I guess I'm Jamaican. I grew up in St. Lucia. I studied in Trinidad and so on. So I found that in my travels as a professional in particular, you know, you sort of take your childhood and your experiences for granted.
Yeah,
but,
true.
You know, you go overseas and you realize that everybody have their own problems.
Mm-hmm.
And also that some of the things that, you know, you found upon in terms of the level of development and what is lacking. And, you know, I had to say, but, you know, we're not doing too badly here. And, you know, we did certain great things.
Right.
So I feel as if, you know, we really ought to be prouder of our Caribbean heritage, our local heritage, and maybe to some degree, I think in St. Lucia, there's a certain pride in that, especially with, you know, like June Creole and those sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I hope that, you know, a lot more of us, as much as we may go out into the world to see what is there, that we also recognize that we also ought to come back home to help to develop what
yes.
we have, because we actually have some fantastic things. And I think even like just going through this whole COVID-19 experience, you know, the way how, for example, bigger countries suffered and could not execute the proper contact tracing. And you find that a lot of us in the Caribbean, because of how our healthcare system is structured, you have a lot of local health centers and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So things like that, we were able to do a lot more effectively than
right,
others.
Right.
So,
and
you know,
a lot of times in the conversation, we miss these things, yeah?
Absolutely,
yeah,
and, you know,
yeah. If you didn't say that,
we
probably would have
gone
ahead thinking
so
we're really in a mess. For real. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, that's great stuff. But as a child, what were some of the things that you liked? Because you ended up in engineering and we go in there. But what were some of the things that you gravitated to as a child, recreational-wise?
Well, as a child, you know, almost every weekend we used to go to the beach. Eventually, though, I started ballet. So when I maybe was about 8, and that was something that I did, I say off and on, because, for example, at the time when you had, like, common entrance and CXCs and so on, where... you had like extra lessons on weekends and so on. So it clashed with some of my class time for ballet. And I ended up, you know, probably having to like sit out a year of ballet because of whatever academic requirements I needed to pursue. But those are the things that I did primarily in terms of extracurricular. I think because my father is a physician and I sort of grew up around it, and I certainly had an interest in it, and there was an expectation that I would have become a doctor myself. But I think having seen it from the inside, one realizes it's not it's a vocation.
Yes,
and therefore,
yes,
you know, it takes a commitment. Mm-hmm. And I guess it may not necessarily be that I wasn't as committed, but I think I realized that there were options.
No, but it was an honest decision, because it didn't make a sense to say, well, try to prove that I'm committed and go into it, and then while you're into it, realize that it's really too much. You know, so I think you know, you should be commended for taking that stand. Now, Michelle, we're coming back and we're talking about, were you a girly girl or?
No.
You're not?
I can tell you that without reservation.
I know.
I never had dolls. My sister did.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I was probably more problem solving and tinkering, which was why, you know, as much as I had probably thought about medicine, but engineering may have been, you know, along the lines
exactly.
of what
you, I you didn't play. You didn't, yeah, you weren't one of those to conform to this dolly thing. I wasn't either, so you're not alone there. Okay, so here on we're going to do, Michelle. We'll take a break, a word from our partners, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about your field.
Okay, then.
All right, I'm the journey. So I'll take a word now from the Bank of St. Lucia, or the bank you need, and Court St. Lucia.
We are the Bank of St. Lucia, for every solution, building our future today. We are the Bank of St. Lucia, for every solution, with you every step of the way. Always there for you, serving you and me. The St. Lucian way, we like family. Always there for you, helping you and me. B-O-S-L-U-C-E for me. For every solution,
Bank of St. Lucia, all the bank you need.
Together, we're here for each other. Stand with Unicoma. Yes, we are all essential.
Send us your COVID-19 jingle at oecfjingle@unicoma.com for a chance to win $1,500 to $2,500 cash. Competition open to students age 5 to 17 and adults age 18 to 30. Log on to shopcalls.com or check us out on Facebook and Instagram for more details. Remember, we are all essential in the fight against COVID-19.
Terms and conditions apply.
Yes, we are all essential.
And here we are. We're back. This is Radio Caribbean International. If you're just joining us, we are talking to Michelle Marius. We are on to She Speaks. It's a Tuesday morning. It's around that time of the day. And we have the privilege of having this awesome woman with dual citizenship, but more Lucian than anything else. You understand? Who is sharing her journey with us this morning. And, you know, it started off as a nice conversation. Now, Michelle, engineering, that's where you're headed off to. And you have, like, over 20 years of experience also in telecommunications and ICT fields, particularly in policy and regulatory, or regulations rather, and administration. So that is that related in any way? Because when you started off, you went into engineering. That's what you went into first, right?
Yes.
Right. So engineering, tell me.
Okay, well, I guess it's interesting. And I mean, what I am doing, and certainly my engineering studies, you know, have position me well for the path that I'm on and have been on. But as you can probably appreciate as well, is that where you started and how you thought the path would have unfolded and how it actually did might be two completely different things. So, you know, did engineering, and a lot of my, you know, contemporaries, you know, classmates would have gone into like the power engineering to work with the electricity company, but that was not my strength at all.
Okay.
So I did more like the electronic side. And eventually, you know, completed my degree, even did a master's. Mm-hmm. And I think what happened is that I started working as an electrical engineer, probably working more on the ICT side. So in St. Lucia, I had returned to St. Lucia after finishing my studies and was working with a company called Impact Services at the time. Right. And they were doing a lot of work for government in terms of doing the networking the internal structural networking of the buildings for government. So I did a lot of work on that front, and I guess that kind of was what sort of dipped my toe into the ICT at the time. I mean, but this was probably like in the mid to late 1990s. So, you know, the sort of how the field has evolved and has developed, you know, it would have been certainly for us, at least in St. Lucia at the time, you know, very embryonic.
Right.
And then I think what happened is it's amazing how a seemingly innocuous experience sets the stage for all of the things that had happened to me subsequently.
Mm-hmm.
In about 1998, there was the whole telecom sector reform project, which was the World Bank-funded project that eventually led to the liberalization of the telecommunications sector in St. Lucia, St. Kitts, Dominica, St. Vincent and the Grenadines, mm-hmm. and Grenada, and the formation of Xtel, which is headquartered in St. Lucia.
Right.
And while I was at MPAT, we got the consultation document, and I prepared the response on behalf of the company, mm-hmm. and participated in the consultations and so on. Mm-hmm. And eventually, there was an opportunity for me to to leave the private sector and move over to government, where I worked at the Ministry of Communication and Works in St. Lucia, Ministry of Communication and Works and Public Utilities at the time.
Okay.
And, you know, got into telecommunications regulation a little bit more. It was just when, you know, they were just about putting the laws together and so on. And eventually, once all of the laws had been promulgated and put into effect, and one was looking to accept applications from the different entities to provide services under the new dispensation, mm-hmm. I was involved and in charge of that. And then I was invited to submit an application to become, I guess, what at the time the coordinator, that's the name of the position, but basically to run the National Telecommunications Regulatory Machine, Regulatory Commission in St. Lucia, right? Mm-hmm. And that is how, you know, I guess it has set the stage in terms of all of the expertise that I have. Yeah. Have developed in regulation
today. Some of your work, you transitioned very. You had to deal with a lot of legal stuff. Did you study law? No,
I ended up doing so because you know, as an engineer, you think in a certain way, and yes, you problem solve, but you know, you're working within this policy regulatory.
And that's a high level. You can't mess up too often there, innit?
Absolutely.
I have to get it right.
Yeah. And although, you know, we had employed a, you know, like a legal officer and so on, but I still recognize my own deficiency. Now, again, this was the sort of thing where I probably thought that I would just do like a paralegal course, but then you realize that maybe paralegal is not what would give me the skills that and the tools that I was looking for. So I ended up doing a full-fledged law degree as well.
But you don't practice law. You just did the law degree in order to do what you're doing, to better enhance where you're at.
Yes.
Okay. You ever thought of practicing law? When you did get into the law, did it excite you to the point where you probably considered it a little bit? No? It never tweaked on you?
Not really. I mean, I guess I may still have that option at some point in time. I may, of course, need to brush up on all of it. But mm-hmm. I think, and unlike maybe in my early, you know, my teens and early 20s when I had done like my engineering degrees and doing those sort of things full time, in doing the law part time, I was working full time at the commission,
mm-hmm.
you realize just the sacrifice that one had to make.
Right.
And the fact that it's a sort of thing that one cannot necessarily afford to step out of the workforce after a while,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, you sort of get certain passes when you're in your early 20s because you're studying. But if you were to step away after a while, you find that you're going to have to catch up.
Right,
and I wasn't sure whether or not I may have, you know, wanted to do that, especially to probably go to do the, you know, whatever practicing certificate and the sort of...
What some people might consider, take that risk.
Yeah. Mm. But also, I think I was not dissatisfied with where I was and in terms of focusing on regulatory work. So and telecommunications, but really it's helped to strengthen those skills in that regard.
What?
I mean, one of the things that I'm actually quite passionate about, and I've been looking at it off and on over the years in terms of the law is actually like legislative drafting.
Right. Yeah. That's part of the bio there. The bio is so loaded. We have to fine tune what we're going to touch on, because if you're going to touch on the whole bio, then we have time this morning.
Exactly.
The bio is loaded. You don't look old. You look quite young. You know. So you achieved quite a lot at a young age. Is that? I don't want to ask your age, because if you're one of the ladies, I don't like to share your age. I'm just asking, like, your professional studies. Was it at a pretty young age?
Relatively speaking, I mean, I immediately left from high school to go off to university. Wow. I mean, the truth of the matter is that, the numbers have been piling up in terms of age. So, and if I have over 20 years experience, you can start to do the math and get a sense of where things are.
Right.
But, you know, I cannot necessarily tell anybody that I've had a hard life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When people have wanted to talk about those things, I really can't.
Right. That is not your experience. That was not your journey. In terms of the field that you got into, most time engineering and leading on to, well, I'm not sure if where you're at right now was considered a male dominated. Was it? Engineering for sure. At the time.
Yes, and electrical engineering
at that. So
yes.
What was the journey like for you? Did you experience any moments where you felt that you had to overachieve to get the same recognition? Because we hear a lot of it. We just celebrated, a few days ago, Women's Achievement,
International
Women's Day. And you know what? A lot of the times on those days, we get a lot of these things coming forward. And I probably need that for my own personal, because I never felt it or never paid attention to it. I tend to downplay it a little bit, I think. And I think I want to understand from everybody, like, so I could get a better understanding and maybe I could look at it differently moving forward. So did you experience any of that?
Truthfully, if I did, I may not necessarily have been aware of it. And I think similar to
That's
you,
me.
I think for me, I'm sufficiently driven that I can, you know, I'm getting on with what I think I need to do.
Yes. And if I set a goal for myself, I'm going to get it. I wouldn't see what's there to stop me or not stop me or, yeah, I'll just go get it. I'll be so focused on getting it that I probably would miss a lot of things along the way.
Having said that, though, I think for me, and it may be more out of the socializing and the community than my own sort of personal that probably have triggered my own personal insecurities. I'm a shy, introverted person by nature.
Right.
So sometimes I can be intimidated by situations. Mm-hmm. And you really have to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and say, you know, all right, you know.
And you achieved quite a lot too, like you said, in your journey along a young age. So you would have probably even faced it from that angle as well too. You know, you head into companies and you're applying yourself, and before you know it, you're heading up the ladder into the next, managerial position, or you just kept achieving. And there might have been people probably been around for years, and, you know, okay, a young little girl, take your time and take the line, man, like that kind of vibe.
I sense that there may have been a few people, especially like when I became the coordinator of the NTRC, National Telecommunications Regulatory Commission in St. Lucia, who may have thought that they should have been offered it. But at the same time, I think for some of them, they did not throw their hat in the ring. I mean, it was suggested that I do apply for it because I had been doing some of the work already.
But
it's the sort of thing that it was just being established. It was just going to be, you know, basically a very tiny office, very little budget and so on. And I think what it became, I think people then became a little bit more envious about what
it was. So they weren't attracted by the first package, which you took on. And then when it blossomed into something really amazing, it became a problem.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Let me tell you, we could talk a lot, but this is not just where your professional career stayed. You didn't just work with St. Lucia. You have gone on to work with regional and international bodies. Even to date, I see a little term there. I have to ask you what that means, you know. I mean, one might say it's self-explanatory, but no. Internet governance.
Okay.
To explain.
So internet governance is what it, it really talks about the internet from the perspective that the internet itself is not necessarily just this singular thing. Mm-hmm. It requires a lot of collaboration and coordination across countries.
Right.
It is something that spans the globe, mm-hmm. and therefore you need to ensure that there are rules that have been mutually and jointly agreed that facilitate the proper operation and functioning of the internet.
Right.
Now, the internet, what it was 30 years ago when it was just dial-up and just a few, you know, computers
yeah.
connected, relatively few computers connected, is completely different from what it is today when we have, not just necessarily just the backings and the technologies, but
okay.
the services.
Right.
And there's a lot of layers to the internet that, you know, you and I as ordinary consumers would not see
yeah.
and have no idea exists. But all of that needs to be governed.
Right.
And there needs to be coordination of it, as well as the systems put in place to ensure that it can evolve with us
right.
as technology continues to evolve, but also as
to safeguard
in keeping
us.
With how we as users mm. use the internet.
Oh, wow. So you're involved in that?
Yes. At different levels, but primarily,
okay.
I mean, there are quite a number of persons across the Caribbean region who are, and I think there may be one or two persons in St. Lucia. It's something that I think, you know, I'm hopeful that more people would...
So is it something like an awareness, creating an awareness, or you actually play a role in ensuring...
One can...
Policy-wise and
different
stuff.
Roles.
Okay, so what role do you play?
That can be played.
What is your role?
So for example, just general awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Locally, what you tend to have happen is that there are different groups that discuss internet governance issues for and on behalf of the country, for and on behalf of the region, that then feed into the sort of global conversation, the global forums that are happening
mm-hmm.
on internet governance. So,
okay.
you know, so I think that there can be so many different tiers of involvement, whether it's just general awareness, those that are looking and formulating the position of a country,
mm-hmm.
the position of a region, to be able to feed into those international conversations. Because, you know, as sovereign countries, especially, let's say, in the Caribbean, we all have a seat at the table.
Mm-hmm.
But what often happens is that we are not paying attention to the issues. We don't understand the implications, and we don't understand the implications for us of certain decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we sit down at the table, decisions are made that are going over our heads,
right.
And then it's only after the decision that is made that we realize that
we've signed on to.
Exactly.
Oh boy. Well, this is a heavy one right there, and I'm happy, you know, somebody that is so alert like yourself is there, because we wouldn't pick that up if you're not there to show us that it's there. You see it?
Mm-hmm.
You've got a lot on your hand. I mean, I'm coming back. I'm going to take a word from our sponsors and come up. We only have like a few minutes left. I still have to steal a few minutes into it so we could wrap up. But we're
right.
doing this, all right? A word from
yeah.
the Bank of St. Lucia and Quartz, and we're coming back.
Okay.
We are the Bank of St. Lucia for every solution, building our future today. We are the Bank of St. Lucia for every solution, with you every step of the way. Serving you and me, the St. Lucian way. We like family, always there for you, helping you and me. BOSL Nuce for me. We are the Bank of St. Lucia for every St. Lucian.
Bank of St. Lucia, all the bank you need.
Together, we're here for each other. Stand with Unicoma. Yes, we are all essential.
Send us your COVID-19 jingle at oecfjingle@unicoma.com for a chance to win $1,500 to $2,500 cash. Competition open to students age 5 to 17 and adults age 18 to 30. Log on to shopcalls.com or check us out on Facebook and Instagram for more details. Remember, we are all essential in the fight against COVID-19. Terms and conditions apply. Yes, we are all essential.
Certainly time to wrap up, and Michelle, like I said, man, for that stint that you have under your belt there, we need a whole day for you.
Yes, thank
but,
you.
But I'm happy we were able to cover some of the things and explain some of the things and some of your journeys that you... what is going on? Is that by you?
Sorry.
That's your side?
Yeah, sorry.
Oh,
sorry.
I thought it was me. I said, don't tell me I mess up. No, it's cool. If it came from you, that's fine. That's okay. Right. So I wanted to ask you, what would you leave? But before we get into that, though, like, how do you find time to recreate in all of this? There's a lot of, yes, heavy stuff you got going on there. When you do find time, do you find time? And what do you do
with
your spare time? You do?
I do. I mean, a lot of it, especially, well, under the circumstances, we're not traveling as much as we used to, even internally in terms of, like, just going across the country. I'm currently based in Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, just try to exercise. I think that has been the biggest avenue and release for me over the certainly over the past year. Mm. Just trying to keep the body healthy and
What do you do for fun, though? What do you do for fun apart from exercise? Well, exercise can be considered fun if you depends on how you look at it.
Yeah.
Don't tell me that's only fun you have in your life.
I try to at least watch movies and read. And maybe catch up with friends as I can, because I think, you know, especially at this time in particular, and I've been working from home for about 4 years, so, you know, it's really good to just maintain your connections with people.
Right, absolutely. What do you want to leave to our listeners? Help inspire them, because like you said, this environment right now is charged. People looking for anything you want to leave with them, like, you know, give them a little word of encouragement for me.
I think, you know, the best I can say is that even in these trying times, there are opportunities. If there's anything that I learned last year, was that time is still going.
Right.
Sometimes, you know, we put in our, you know, different plans on hold. We you know, we want things to go back to how they were. Well, they're not going to go back to how they were. And I think really what really is our strength as humans is our ability to navigate and to adapt to situations. And, you know, as much as, you know, vaccines and so on are being administered these days, you know, I think there is a sense, though, that we're not going to be out of the woods where COVID-19 is concerned. There are going to be variants. We may need to be inoculated every year for new variants as they arise. So we need to adapt. And I think we need to leverage the opportunities that are here, because there are opportunities to be had.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Michelle, you are awesome. You know, have an awesome one, and, you know, continue to chart that course and you know, play that important role as you go along. And, you know, thank you for blessing us this morning with your story.
Thank you so much for having me.
It was an honor.
Take care.
Wonderful. Michelle Marius, that was our guest today on She Speaks. She Speaks was made possible by the Bank of St. Lucia, all the bank you need, and Courts St. Lucia.